All right. I'll begin tonight by just saying this. God always has a plan. Always has a plan. Look what this says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." One thing we need to recognize this evening is that God is always ahead of the devil. God is never behind the devil. He's always ahead of him. And by that same token, the devil is always behind God. If we learn to live in the power of the blessing of the Lord, we're going to talk about the blessing tonight some more, but if we live in that power, in the power of that blessing, we will always also be ahead of the devil. And according to the Word, he will always be under our feet. So we want to live that way. God has a plan for our victory. He has a plan for our healing. He has a plan for our deliverance. He has a plan for our prosperity. He has a plan. Our job then is to come into agreement with the plan of God. In the Garden of Eden, after the sin of man, after God had pronounced the blessing on Adam and Eve and declared they were blessed and they were to have dominion, after he did that, and then after man sinned, there was still nothing the devil could do to change the word that God had spoken over the man. The devil does not have the power to change the word of God. He cannot do that. And when God had declared the man was blessed, there's no way the devil could negate what God had said. In spite of the curse that was released when man sinned, God stood by his word. He still stands by his word. Never, listen, he will always do it. He never said to Adam and Eve after they sinned, he never said, "Well, you know, y'all really messed everything up. I guess I'll have to scrap that whole blessing idea and come up with something else." No, he didn't do that, because when he spoke the word is forever. That's what the Bible says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. There's nothing the devil can do to erase or stamp out the word. Okay? God had already spoken the blessing. And even though they sin, God, from that moment forward, began to bridge the gap from Adam to Jesus so he could bring total restoration of the blessing of the Lord upon all men. God began right away to make sure that the blessing he pronounced over Adam would be the blessing that he would bring to the body of Christ today. The very same blessing is what he wants us to walk in. If the devil had known the plan that God had for the blessing. See, the devil wanted the blessing, and when he couldn't have it, he stole it from the man, thinking he would get it for himself. But the blessing in his on him was really the curse, because he couldn't have the blessing. But when, if he would have seen that bridge, that the gap was bridged, he would have never killed Jesus. He would have never allowed Jesus to go through what he went through, but he did. He wasn't smart enough to figure it out. And now through Jesus, we have access to God's intended blessing that was from the very beginning. And we've been talking about that for a few weeks now. The fact remains, we must know the Word and believe the Word in order to have what the Word promises us, and the Word declares we are the blessed. And we'll look some more at that as we go. God, from the beginning of that day, I mean from the time that Adam sinned, and then God, we've covered this a little bit over these past few weeks, from the time he sinned, Adam sinned, God spoke to Adam and Eve and told them of a seed from the woman that would come and bruise the devil's heel, or bruise the devil's head. The devil would bruise his heel, and from that moment, God preserved a bloodline for himself. He established a lineage through which he could produce this devil-crushing seed that he could bring the blessing to all mankind. This was, he spoke of it in the garden. He brought, from that moment, he began to work at bringing forth a covenant people,
And the devil has fought against those people from that day to try to stop the blessing that God promised to all mankind. The devil does not want the blessing to happen. He wants to stop the people. He wasn't always sure how the Lord was going to do it, but he figured if he could destroy the lineage of promise, he could stop the ability of mankind from ever escaping the curse that he's the commander over. And he's done everything he can to stop the people of that covenant, and now he's doing everything he can to stop the people of our covenant from walking in this blessing. He wants to stop us any way that he can, through governments, through repressions, through ignorance, through false teachings. He will do anything he can to stop the body of Christ from finding out that we're free from the curse and we are blessed of God. He will do everything he can to do that. Many people have this idea, and it's kind of a pie-in-the-sky mentality, that the devil doesn't really have any authority or power, and if we'll just say King's X in Jesus' name, that he will leave us alone. But the reality is he does have power, and we have to understand the authority we have over his power and how we can stand in the blessing of the Lord and walk true to what God has called us to. If the devil has no power, and if he has no authority and has nothing, then when he promised, remember he took Jesus and he promised him, he said, the Bible says he tempted him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, I will give these to you if you'll bow down and worship me. Remember that? And Jesus wouldn't do it. Now, it wouldn't have been a temptation if the devil didn't own the kingdoms. If Jesus would have, Jesus would have known. He would have said, you don't own those. You can't give those to me. But in reality, he could give them to him. Because the Bible says, and we'll read the verse in a second, that he is the God of this world. It wouldn't have been a temptation to Jesus when the devil came and told him that he would give him the glory or the riches of all the world. That wouldn't have been a temptation to Jesus unless the devil could have really done that. But the devil had it to give, and he was willing to tempt Jesus with that. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from to them that are lost, in whom, now look what it says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible here says that Satan is the God of this world. He is the God of this world. He is able to do certain things, but the good news is, through Jesus, we have dominion over the curse that the devil owns. And that is the only way to be free from what the devil has. That's why he is working so hard to stop the church and to stop the Jews. Because those are the people who can walk in this prescribed blessing, which is different than the curse. The blessing isn't a good idea. The blessing is the empowerment of God over the curse, and we have to realize that. So we've been talking about the blessing of the Lord for several weeks now. We've seen that the blessing must be conferred upon someone. That means the blessing must be spoken. And we used the illustration of the queen or the king conferring knighthood upon an individual, and they would confer it with the words of their mouth, I dub thee Sir Whatever, Sir Lancelot of whatever, where was he from? Lancelot of something. Lancelot of Camelot? I dubbed thee Sir Lancelot of Camelot. That would mean he had authority over Camelot. And when the king conferred that blessing upon him, that also from the king granted that person the authority to rule that area. God conferred the blessing on man when he created him. The very first thing God spoke to Adam was blessing. He blessed them saying, I'm giving you dominion over all of this planet. I give you authority over all the animals, all the plants, over everything, and I give you all the seed. So God conferred to Adam the blessing of the Lord, which was the empowerment to do everything the blessing said. The moment God said, I bless you to have authority over the animals, God now empowered him to have the authority over the animals.
God conferred blessing on him with authority and seed, and by those two things, Adam can now take the Garden of Eden and expand it to the whole earth, which was the intent of God, because God rested on the seventh day, intending that since Adam now had the blessing, he could take the very same thing God did and reproduce that all over the planet. And that's what he intended. We've seen that the confirmation of blessing includes the ability to succeed in carrying out the commission. Once the blessing was conferred, now the man could stand. The blessing means to rise to the highest place. It was an ability to rise, and the king would confer the knighthood and tell Sir Lancelot to arise, and God conferred the blessing upon Adam and said, arise and now fulfill. Rise to the highest place and do what I've called you to do. And that included his ability. It's an empowerment to succeed in all that the Lord assigns us to do. That's the blessing. God assigns us. He empowers us. He blesses us. We've discovered over the weeks that the blessing is not the car. The blessing is not the house. The blessing is the ability to carry out the plan of God in our lives. That includes maybe the car or the house, but the blessing of the Lord is not the things, but it is the empowerment of God to succeed. All right, we discovered, last time we got together, we discovered there was a tree in the middle of the garden. We discovered that the tree was intended to bring more blessing to this man. It wasn't a curse. It wasn't a withholding of God. It was to bless this man. God is wanting to bless him even more and even more. We found that out. Yet man listened to the devil. He forfeited the blessing. He received the curse in exchange. And we talked about all of that last week. Even talked about Cain and Abel a little bit. Yet when man did that, God never cursed Adam. People talk about God's curse. We don't live under God's curse. The curse wasn't given by God. The curse came upon man because he disobeyed God, and the disobedience, the result of that disobedience was the curse. God never said, I curse you. He basically said, there is a curse now. He said, that's what's out there. There's a curse. He didn't curse Adam. He let him know the curse was there. In fact, if you read carefully in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, you'll find that God didn't even punish Adam. He never said, Adam, I'm spanking you for this. He never even punished him. God went to work immediately to somehow get the blessing back into Adam's life, to get the blessing back to mankind. It wasn't his will to punish him, but the curse came, and the result of the curse was death. And so he warned him that that would happen, but God didn't kill him. God didn't put death on him. Adam made it happen himself by his own sin. We saw last time that God had a plan. Adam's sin was not the end of the matter. So we're going to look some more tonight at the blessing. We're going to talk about the blessing renewed. Adam lost it. We saw that last time very clearly. Adam lost the blessing. So tonight, let's look at that blessing being renewed. Let's look at a man that you know very well about, a man by the name of Noah. God, as we've already said, went to great lengths to protect this bloodline through whom he would bring total restoration of the blessing. He went to great lengths. In fact, we're going to look here in a minute in Genesis chapter 6, and we can see from Genesis chapter 6 that a great flood came on the earth and destroyed almost all of the human race. When I was a kid, I always wondered, well, why did the flood come? Well, we know it came because of sin. When I grew up, I was thinking that God was mad, and that's why God sent the flood. And so he wanted to kill everybody, and that somehow Noah just lucked out. Anybody think that way when they were growing up? I mean, you know, Noah, he was just a lucky guy. He had to be in the right place at the right time. But the flood, just as I study the Bible, in Genesis, when that flood came, it came for one reason. And we can see, and we'll read some verses here in a minute. The flood came because evil had increased in mankind to such a degree that this covenant bloodline that would bring the blessing back into the world was in peril. And that if God didn't do something, the bloodline was going to be eradicated. We can read, we can find from Adam all the way to Noah,
this bloodline included men that called upon the name of the Lord. In particular, it talks about Enoch, who the Bible says he walked with the Lord. I mean, it says he walked with the Lord, and he had a kid. I think he was 300 years old, and he walked with the Lord so closely that he was taken. He never died. He was raptured. Anybody who doesn't believe in the rapture doesn't know the story of Enoch, because Enoch was raptured. He never died in his physical body. He was raptured from this earth because of his walk with God. He walked with God, and so he was taken. He was translated up into heaven. But as men multiplied upon the earth, they began to be wicked because of the curse. They released so much wickedness to the point that the planet had to be cleansed of it, and that evil would have ultimately swallowed up every human being, and there would have been no one through whom God could send the blessing if he didn't check it, if he didn't stop it. All right? There was so much wickedness. By the time Noah came along, this is interesting to me if you just think about it, by the time Noah came along, there were only 8 people of God left in the earth. Imagine that. 8, in our day, 8 Christians alive in Lubbock. How would that be? That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Only 8. And they're all in your family. Sometimes I've thought only my family were saved, but obviously that's not true. But there were 8 people left. That's all. It was so wicked everywhere. Only 8 people left that were following God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Look in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. In verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6. The Bible says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Now look at this next phrase. This is amazing to me. "And that every imagination," and I'm reading the Amplified. Let me go back to the King James. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That is bad news. God saw that men were evil, and that every imagination and every thought of his heart was only evil all the time. Verse number 6, "And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy the man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Man, this is an interesting passage of Scripture. It says God looked down, he saw the men that he had made, and everyone with the exception of Noah, and apparently his sons and his wife and sons and daughters-in-law, everyone except them only thought evil all the time. That's all they thought about, was how to do something wicked. And then it says that God repented that he made man. Now this is an interesting passage of Scripture, so let's just talk about that for a second. The passage does not say that God regretted making man. This is how I thought about it. God repented that he made man. And this, in my mind, this is what that meant when I was growing up. God wished he never made him. Anybody think that when they were growing up? All of a sudden, God looks down, everybody's evil, and God says, I wish I never even made those people. I wish I did not do that. If God was regretted having made man, he would have never had to send a flood. If he just wanted to get rid of them, he would not have had to send a flood, because the way they were going, they were doomed right now. The way they were going, they were going to kill each other off anyway. It wouldn't have been very long that they would have wiped each other out. All men would have died off. But the thing is that God had already spoken his dream. God had already decided to have a family. He had already said man is blessed. And God, because he'd already spoken it, wasn't about to let the devil take it from him. His word was already out there. He already said man is blessed. He already said that he's going to have a family with man. He already said he's going to send the Redeemer. If he killed them all, he would be a liar. And so he never intended to kill them all. He never regretted having made them. He didn't regret him. What he regretted was that man was living under the curse instead of the blessing that he promised. He regretted that man was behaving this way. The word repented here is an interesting word. We think that this means that God changed his mind, but God can't change his mind, can he? The Bible says, he said, I'm the Lord, I don't change. So it's not about God changing his mind. Here's what the word repented here means. In the Hebrew, the word means to sigh or breathe strongly. When it says God repented, basically means God went, whew. He breathed heavily. He sighed. He sighed heavily at the pain he felt. The Bible here says that it grieved him at his heart. He grieved heavily because of the pain he felt because man chose the curse over the blessing. Man chose to live under the dominion of Satan, live the way the devil told him to, and man was doing all that, and God just goes, whew. Now be honest with your kids. Have you ever looked at them and went, whew. Yeah, because of a choice that they make, because of behavior that they have, it's not that we wish we didn't have any kids, it's just that we're not pleased with the choice that they're making. All man thought about was evil all the time. That's all he could think of 100% of the time. He was thinking about evil things. These men were sacrificing their children. These men were engaging in sexual immorality like we think we've seen, but we've never even seen it on that scale in our world today. I mean, these guys never even thought a little bit about God, their creator. It's no wonder God was grieved. He made them because he wanted a family. He made them because he wanted them to be blessed. He made them because he intended for them to take his goodness, to take his purpose to the ends of the earth. God never took pleasure in destroying all of those people. The Bible says this in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. The Lord said, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? The Bible clearly says that God does not have pleasure in the death of wicked people. He gets pleasure when people turn to follow him. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to know him. God sighed. He was grieved. He repented in the sense that he didn't want them to follow the path they were going in. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, talking about God, it says, and he spared not the world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The Bible here says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now you read the story of Noah and you're going to find out it took Noah 100 years to build that boat. Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his three sons, those four guys, took them 100 years to build the boat. For 100 years, Noah preached to the people. For 100 years, Noah spoke the word of God, the word of righteousness to all of those people. For 100 years, he told them the flood was coming. For 100 years, he admonished them to repent and turn to God. God was so patient with those people that he gave them 100 years to turn it around. That's pretty patient. If I was God, it had been about 24 minutes. 100 years God gave them. 100 years through Noah, he begged them to repent. 100 years he said, don't do this to yourselves. 100 years God loved them, and they refused to listen and were victims of their own rebellion. God wanted them to change. They left God with no other choice. The truth is, God is always loving. God is always just. The same is true today regarding heaven and hell. God has preachers preaching to people everywhere, and if they choose to reject God, they select for themselves hell. God doesn't want that for them.
It's not the way God wanted it. God did not want them to die. But had God not washed the earth of all of those people, in another few years, they would have completely overrun the planet and the blessing would have been lost forever. Even the lineage of Noah would have eventually been corrupted had God not done something about it. Because everybody but those people thought only evil all the time. And God knew He had to do something drastic to save the blessing He wanted for mankind. He wouldn't allow the blessing to be lost. He put up with it and put up with it and put up with their sin, put up with it until the last possible moment when finally only 8 people on the planet knew God. I mean, that's pretty patient, I think. God was waiting and waiting and hoping and wanting them to change. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is verse 8 of chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I am so happy that verse is in there. Everyone else thought only evil all the time, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even in all of that sin, in all of that evil, the blessing of the Lord was still at work in somebody. Let's look at that chapter 6, verse 12, and look what this says. It says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth, now Lord knows he didn't say, I'm going to kill everybody on the earth. He said, it's come before me. They made this decision. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. He's saying, I will allow destruction to come. And then the next couple of verses, he says, I want you to make me a boat. I want you to make it this size and that size. Verse 17, he says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. In verse 18, but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come unto the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. That's when it matters who you're related to. I mean, he said, y'all, only you and your wife and your kids and kids-in-law, that's it, nobody else. And so once they entered the ark, the door shut, and there they were for 50 days. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. They were in there for 50 days before it settled. I believe that's what it says in the Bible. And then they're there for a long time before they even get out of the ark. Months is how long they were in there. But once the flood was over and the tide of evil had been stemmed, now all of a sudden mankind gets a fresh start. All of a sudden now, all the evil has been wiped away and man gets a fresh start. Noah and his family, they stepped off that boat. They had been given a reprieve. And all of a sudden, they stepped off the boat, and it was just like when Adam and Eve were on the planet before they sinned. The Bible says they stepped off that boat, and I'm guessing that Noah remembered what Adam and Eve did with that tree in the middle of the garden. And so the very first thing, I'm sure he'd also heard about Cain killing his brother. So the very first thing that Noah did was he presented his offering to the Lord. I mean, Noah said, all right, the first thing I've got to do is give me a tithe to the Lord. And so the Bible tells us in chapter 8, verse 20, and Noah built an altar. I mean, they stepped off the boat. And the Bible says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on that altar. These were the first ones that they were born while they were on the ark. And so Noah, he gets off that boat and he takes the very first ones and he offers them to God. He knew better than to say that he did this himself. He gave an offering to God right then, right off the boat. And then look in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Genesis, the 9th chapter. Look in verse 1. This is an amazing passage of Scripture to me. And it says, and God blessed Noah. Now, wait a minute. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them. Now, what's he doing? He's conferring the blessing upon Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
the blessing is coming. It says, He blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Have you ever heard those words before? Yeah, we heard them in Genesis chapter 1 when God blessed Adam. And He told Adam to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is not a different blessing. This is the very same blessing. In verse 2, He said, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. He said, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb. I have given you all things. Doesn't that sound very similar to what God said to Adam? He told Adam, I want you to replenish this planet. I want you to take it and I want you to fill it up with this garden that I put you in. I want you to take the blessing that's on your life and I want you to fill the earth. He tells Noah the very same thing. He said, I'm telling you what, son, the fear of you is on everything in this earth. You now have dominion. I have given you everything. And God now has conferred the blessing that Adam sloughed off. He now has conferred the very same blessing upon Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He said, boys, I'm giving you an empowerment so that you can replenish this planet. I want you to go out of here, be fruitful and multiply. He wasn't saying go out and have a bunch of babies. That's not what He said to them. He was saying, I want you to replenish it. I want you to make it grow. I want you to do what Adam did not do. So now here's the very same blessing. He said, Noah, take the blessing, cover the earth. He's basically saying, be blessed. I empower you by declaration and confirmation to excel in everything good, prosper, fill up the earth, have dominion over everything in it. That's the blessing God just pronounced upon Noah. That's a pretty powerful blessing. The very same one that He had just given to Adam years before. Think about it. Noah gets off the boat. He and his family. I mean, it's just Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and a boatload of animals. They walk off of that boat, and they're all that there is. I've seen on the newscasts the devastation like a Category 4 or a Category 5 hurricane and how it wipes out everything in its path. Think about this now. This was that multiplied many times. Everything was wiped out. Not just New Orleans, but all of North America. Not just all of North America, but all of the earth. I mean, this thing had wiped out everything that was on the earth. There wasn't one trace of civilization anywhere. It was just Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and a boatload of animals. And they got off that boat. And God says to them, Noah, you're blessed. And here's your assignment, guys. Replenish the earth. Fill it up. That's your job. Don't you know that Noah was thinking, how in the world do you expect us to do that? Well, the answer was already there. God said, blessed. It was the blessing that God pronounced upon him that contained the enablement, the empowerment to accomplish what God said. Whenever God declares the blessing, I mean, the power is inherent in His Word whenever He speaks it. Noah's probably thinking, how am I going to do it? But God says, you're going to do it by this blessing. You're going to do it the same way that I intended for Adam to do it. You're going to do it exactly that way. The blessing of the Lord will do that. The blessing is the empowerment to get the job done, no matter how big the job may be, no matter what the assignment of the Lord is, the blessing of the Lord is the empowerment to accomplish His purpose. See, the blessing of the Lord was the power of God to finish and bring to completion what was in the beginning in God's mouth. The only reason there is a beginning is so God can complete the ending. Man, here for just a few minutes, it was like Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. God pronounced the blessing. God told him to replenish the earth. And then, just like Adam had done before, Noah and his sons messed it all up. The Bible teaches us that Noah made the mistake and got drunk. The door now is open for Ham to come in and sin. Then Ham and Japheth began living not by faith in the power of the blessing of the Lord, but they began to live by their own wits and human strength. You read these scriptures in the Bible the next couple of chapters, and you're going to find out that they and their lineage created their own system of commerce and departed from depending upon God. They depended upon man instead of God to meet their needs. They had the blessing of God spoken from God Himself, and now they began to develop a system of commerce that wasn't based on trusting God. They produced, these guys and their offspring produced a fend-for-yourself, dog-eat-dog, lie-cheat-steal economy that lined up with the curse instead of relying upon God to meet their needs. They began to dominate people rather than dominating the earth. They began to dominate people rather than allow the blessing to make the garden produce. They began to take from people rather than depending upon God. This is what I know about the system of the world. There's only so much in the world. It can only produce so much. And when we begin to depend upon the system of the world, we can only get so much from the system. And when we get to the top of that supply chain, we got to steal from somebody else to get more. There's no end to the blessing of the Lord. His economy, there is no end. There's no topping out. We don't have to steal from somebody else to get more. We go to God and get more because He has more. He has this blessing. Man, it was amazing because Ham and Japheth, they began to do that. Only Shem, now this was the oldest son of Noah, only Shem stuck with God and lived in the blessing of God. And it was through the bloodline of Shem that man was going to be able to receive the blessing. It was through that bloodline that a guy named Abram, later named Abraham, would be born. It's through Abraham that God would make this next wonderfully mysterious move in restoring the blessing to all men forever. So we're going to take a few minutes and look at Abram, and we won't get through with Abram tonight. We'll just start with him. But I want you to see some things. You got Noah. He has the blessing of the Lord. Ham and Japheth, they got rid of it. They didn't live in it. Shem continued. And then through his lineage, down through a bunch of other guys, we come to this guy named Abram. So let's look at Genesis chapter 12, just a couple of chapters over. And look in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee." Now this is pretty tough, man. You got to hear God here. Because He's saying, I want you to leave everybody, and I want you to go, and I'm not even going to tell you where. You just go where I tell you. Where are you moving to, Abram? I don't know. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Well, which direction is it? I don't know. I'm just going. What? You're just moving and you don't know where you're moving to? How would that be today? You're just moving. Now, Ken and Ruth have moved a bunch of times. But didn't you normally know where you were going? Not always. See, one time we moved. One time Tammy and I moved and we had no idea where we knew what town we were going to, but we didn't have a house. We didn't have a job. We didn't have anything. We actually did this twice and it worked once. It didn't work so well the next time. But we moved because we believed God. Abram, he didn't even know where he was going. God said, I want you to move. I'm telling you, son, move. And verse number 2 is the good one. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Man, when he first spoke to Abram, He was there in a town called Ur. Ur was a city of moon worshipers. It's a city that's located not far from modern-day Baghdad, and they worshipped the moon. God came looking for somebody because he wanted to get this blessing down the way because he knew he wanted to restore it to all mankind. He chose Adam, and he chose Abram because he knew that Abram would take this blessing, and we can see it pan out as we read the rest of Genesis. He took the blessing, and he taught his son. And his son taught his sons, and that one son that kept the bloodline taught his sons. So God found him a man that would teach his sons and perpetuate the bloodline of blessing. God saw something in Abram sparked by the word. It was faith. We know that Abram believed God. He knew that the spark of faith in Abram would turn to a light that would shine to all nations. And when he spoke the word, something sparked. See, God had already tried to speak to his father because his father wouldn't leave Ur. He stayed there. It says he settled there, though he's headed for Canaan. And so he found faith in Abram. It sparked a light in Abram. God ignited the spark in him the same way he did with Adam. He conferred the blessing upon him. He said to him, blessed. He did it the same way he did it with Noah. He empowered him to succeed, to prosper, to excel in life as he received the conferring of this blessing upon his life. And when you read the history of Abram, who became Abraham, you see that everything he did prospered. Every place he went was blessed. And we'll look more about that next week. God set Abraham in this place of dominion by declaring this to him: whoever does good to you, I will do good to them. Whoever comes against you, I will come against them. He said, I am going to back you 100%. God said, man, I am blessing you. I am conferring the blessing upon you. We're going to see more next week that this blessing is the very same blessing that was upon Noah, the very same blessing that was upon Adam. We're going to see that. Most people don't ever see the connection between the blessing that God put upon Adam to the blessing that God put upon Abram. But we're going to make the connection here because we're also going to see the connection. And well, before we end tonight, you'll see there's a connection between this blessing on Abram that is the blessing upon you. But we have to see it's connected all the way through the Bible. These Old Testament stories aren't just a bunch of disjointed selections of Bible history. To some people, it seems as if God was kind of making it up as he went along. But these are all connected. They're all very important because God has a plan. He's always had a plan because he designed man to be his family and he wants them to be blessed. People have thought it was like this one blessing for Adam, another for Noah, another for Abram. But we're going to find out over the weeks that God has this one blessing that he wants to put upon all men. They thought God's had dozens of blessings, and he just randomly disperses them to whoever's lucky enough to get one. Oh, you're just blessed. Well, yeah, we're blessed, but not because it's a random act. It's because God has a plan. As New Testament saints, we're going to find out that it's vital that we recognize the blessing of the Lord for Adam to replenish the earth and have dominion over it is the same blessing that's upon us today. We have the blessing of the Lord. We should live in the blessing. If we're going to understand God's will for us, we're going to have to settle the fact that the first blessing he gave to mankind is the blessing for all time. Because the blessing didn't change because God didn't change. The blesser is the same as he has always been. Once Abram received the blessing, I mean things started happening. Things began to change. I mean in obedience to God. Now think about this. In obedience to God, you better have the blessing to do what Abram did. In obedience, he left the city of moon worshipers. He left his family. God said, get away from those people. God wanted him to get away from the moon worshiping thinking into the blessing thinking. He wanted him to change his mind, change the way he thought. I mean, he said, get away from your moon-worshiping family. Get out of that town and go where I'm going to take you. I tell you what, sometimes, not all the time, we need to get away from cursed thinking that surrounds us. We need to get into blessed thinking. We need to get away from this sin mentality into righteousness mentality. I mean, Christians need to separate themselves from unbelieving friends until our thoughts change to the degree that we become the influencers and not the influenced. Many people think, well, if I just stay with them, I can win them. Not if they're the influencers. And the truth is, most of the time, if you don't take enough time to get away and get your mind totally changed, they will continue to influence you. We got to separate ourselves from the media, the music, and sadly, even from mama, so we can begin to think like blessed kingdom people. That is, of course, unless your music is already kingdom music, and your mama is already kingdom mama, and your media is already kingdom media. But we've got to love them. We've got to pray for them from a distance until our minds are renewed with the Word of God. And we get to the place where we're not swayed by them. They are swayed by us. And we need to make sure that's what happens in our lives. We've got to get away. I've known too many people who walk in victory as long as they're with the church and as long as they're around the people of God, but then they go home to mama and they come back as messed up as before they got saved. I'm not talking about Christian mamas here. I'm talking about people of the world who say, you're crazy. And they begin to convince them that all this talk about God and all this stuff is just wrong because you can't get too carried away. Abram had to leave everything so he could think right. And it took a long time for Abram to think right. He's 75 when he leaves. It still took him about 24 years to think right. And we'll look at that more next week. But he had to begin to think differently. He had to begin to think in terms of the blessing, in terms of the promise. He followed God into an absolute wilderness. He packed up and moved to a foreign country. Now think about it. He had no relatives. He had no business associates. He didn't have any connection that he could depend upon other than the blessing of the Lord. All he had was the fact that God said, I put a blessing on you. And you will bless everybody else. He didn't have anybody to turn to. Abram moved from his hometown to a desert with nobody there to help him but the blessing of the Lord. And we're going to look next week and we're going to see what happens with that blessing because it worked out well for him. Abram, from the natural perspective, he was a prime candidate to go broke. He moves in a famine. He had no job. He had no promised salary. And nobody there cared whether he lived or died except his wife who couldn't have kids. And his nephew, who was sucking the blessing as much as he could while he was with Abram. But none of that mattered to him because he had the blessing of the Lord. The Lord said, I will bless you. And when you read these chapters, you can find that what God said and the blessing upon his life, it worked. The blessing did its job in Abram's life. We must come to the place that we rely upon the blessing of the Lord and nobody else. You see, we can't rely upon anybody. We must rely upon the Lord. So what would happen today if the source of income is not the Lord and it dried up? We better be relying upon the Lord. It's His blessing. The Bible says this, and you know this verse, Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. It's the blessing of the Lord. This is talking about the blessing that was upon Adam, the blessing upon Noah, the blessing upon Abram. That is what will make us rich. Abram had to learn to rely totally upon the blessing of the Lord. When Ryan and I were in Peru a couple of weeks ago, we were in this island called the Isle of Iquitos. The people there didn't have cell phones. I mean, they didn't even have, they not only did not have iPhones or those Samsung Galaxies, they had no phones, no light bulbs, no internet. Lord, how would they keep up with the world if they don't have all those gadgets? They didn't have TV. They didn't even have Fox News to tell us how bad it is. They didn't get emails from the American Family Association. They didn't get, and I'm for the American Family Association, but they didn't get all that stuff to tell them about. But you know what? We walked, and they were happy. They didn't rely upon all of that stuff to be happy. What would you do tonight if your air conditioner went out and you couldn't get a hold of Jerry Bonner? How much would you gripe and complain? I know I would gripe and complain about it. It's the blessing that sustains us. It's the blessing that provides for us. We need to put our faith not in the system of man, but in the Word of God, in the blessing of the Lord. Even if the economy totally dries up, we fall off into the deepest depression ever, we are not subject to their rules because we rely upon the blessing. And we probably need to get away from all this stuff and begin to connect with Him. Abram understood what the blessing of the Lord was and what it was going to do. Next week, we're going to look more at it. We're going to look at the blessing in Abram's life. We're going to see what he came to understand. We're going to even see more how the blessing of Abraham connects to us and how it connected to Adam. We'll close with these verses again. We'll close these last time in Galatians chapter 3. Christ hath redeemed us. Now, remember we looked at Christ as the word Christos, the anointed one, and his anointing has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Talking about Jesus here. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. The Gentiles, you know who that is? That's Ham and Japheth. That's not just Shem. That's everybody else. That's not just the Jewish people, but that's Ham and Japheth. That's all of us. It might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And next week we'll look at what the promise of the Spirit is to Abraham because that is the blessing that we share in. We are the blessed, and we share in this very same blessing that Abraham had. We are blessed. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, tonight, we thank you for the blessing. We thank you that you have a plan. We thank you, God, that when Adam sinned, when Noah sinned, when Abraham came to that place and he said, I can't see it, you didn't give up on the blessing. You stuck with it because you knew that we need the empowerment of that blessing in our lives now. I pray for revelation, Lord, that's more than just in our minds, but is deep in our spirits, that we understand the power, the supernatural empowerment of your blessing in our lives. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.